Prosperity Without Growth by Tim Jackson. The one-sentence summary. Building a post-growth economy is a precise, definable, and meaningful task. What the book says. At the heart of the book lies an apparently simple question. What can prosperity possibly look like in a finite world with limited resources and a population expected to exceed 10 billion people within a few decades? The concept of gross domestic product, GDP, is too crude a measure. Economists say that if GDP is rising, then so does prosperity and quality of life, but it's not that simple. In fact, it's perverse because prosperity isn't obviously synonymous with income or wealth. GDP measures total spending by households, governments, and business investment, but the equation is deeply flawed because it counts air pollution and destructive practices as well. Robert Kennedy went so far as to say that it measures everything except that which makes life worthwhile. The myth of growth has failed us. The idea of a non-growing economy needs investigation. It is anathema to economists, but it has been shown not to work. Growth can help those in lower income countries, but much less so in developed countries. We need a different kind of vision for prosperity, one in which it is possible for humans to flourish, to achieve greater social cohesion, to find higher levels of well-being, and yet still reduce their material impact on the environment. What matters to people has been summarised by philosopher Martha Nussbaum as central human capabilities, and they include a normal lifespan, bodily health, bodily integrity, not being subject to violence, etc., practical reason, that's a broad concept of the good life, affiliation with others, play, and reasonable control over one's environment. The dilemma boils down to the tension between two concepts. One, growth is unsustainable in its current form, but to reject it is to risk economic and social collapse. Two, degrowth is unstable under present conditions, but we are relentlessly endangering the ecosystems on which we depend for our survival. The conventional response to this is to appeal to the concept of decoupling. More efficient production processes, more sustainable goods and services, more profit with less stuff. The trouble is, it's a myth. Relative decoupling refers to the decline in material intensity of economic output. Absolute decoupling means an absolute decline in resource, even as economic output continues to rise. A small amount of progress has been made on this, and global energy intensity is now 25% lower than it was in 1980. But it's not enough, and there is a lot of fudging of the figures. For example, the UK registered a reduction of greenhouse gas emissions of 18% between 1990 and 2007, using a UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. However, this was in fact a 9% rise in emissions when analysed using a footprint methodology.